no helicopters have been procured for me to go to golf course. Thank you.
I've never said he wasn't a great politician. I'm just saying he's a
officer. He's supposed to be an
interview. How'd you play out there today?
Well, I found the conditions challenging, mostly because there's no grass on the golf course, but there never has been.
I'm thinking about the swag bag, and I have high hopes for the swag bag.
When you got three crevices on the green, your course is trash.
What is going on, folks? Welcome back to the Bellway Golfer Podcast. This is episode 68. I am your host, Alex Dixon. On today's episode, I head up to Little Bennett Golf Course in northern Montgomery County, Maryland. And I sit down with a PGA Master instructor, Mike Dixon. Mike is also the inventor of a swing tool that he just hit the market with called the Lagmaster that we get into. And he's also a master instructor for the Montgomery County Golf Academy there at Little Bennett. So I had a great conversation with Mike. It was good to meet him and learn more about both his history, his philosophies, and the Lagmaster. Couple things to get to before we get to that conversation with Mike. First off, this is the last call for our event out at Bretton Woods on June 7th, the Bankroll, 1 p.m. Wednesday, June 7th. We're having a fun, casual outing with a little bit of competition, two-person better ball out at Bretton Woods Rec Center, Montgomery County. Spots are available, but the deadline to sign up is Friday, May 26th. Your registration includes lunch, food afterwards, beer provided by Aslan Brewing Company. We got tea gifts, got a bunch of prizes provided by Golfdom, Five Iron, Bretton Woods itself, and Union Green Golf Balls. So it's going to be a fun event. Sign up. Love to have you. Love to meet more of the community and just have a fun, casual day out at a private golf course that I think a lot of local golfers maybe haven't played before. Bretton Woods Rec Center, Montgomery County, June 7th. Come on out. Go to bellwaygolfer.com. Click on outings. All the details are there. Would love to have you out. Speaking of one of those companies that's helping out with the tea gifts, Union Green. Union Green is a sponsor of this podcast. We're thrilled to have them as a partner. They are a golf ball and apparel brand that are all about two things that we're really into here at Bellway Golfer, which is playing public golf and playing local golf. Thrilled to be teamed up with Union Green. They've gone to market in a way that really aligns with what we're all about. Since we are obviously a regional show, we stress local golf here. We love and prioritize public golf. That's what Union Green's all about. They offer a pair of high quality golf balls for the community of golfers that don't necessarily need to be spending $45, $50 on a dozen balls that are really fit for tour pros. And, you know, you're going to go through a six pack and around. Not everybody needs that. Some people do, but a lot of folks don't. A lot of folks can be spending their money elsewhere, and Union Green is a lot more affordable. A couple great golf balls. It's a direct-to-consumer golf brand offering affordable performance golf balls, also apparel and gear to support local golfers. They've got a T-Bird, which is a two-piece ball designed to maximize distance, comes in at $20 per dozen, and the Pin Drop, which is a dual-core three-piece ball, offers more of a balanced performance, $28 for 12 golf balls. Both balls are having discounts right now on the Union Green website right now, kind of a buy more, save more discount kind of deal. Go to uniongreen.com, check it out, give them a try today. Speaking of sponsors, do have to talk about one other sponsor as this is PGA Championship Week. This is the second major of the year, and there's going to be a lot of sports betting going on. There's going to be a lot of wagers on who's going to win the PGA Championship. I know we're going to throw a couple dollars around at some of our picks. And we are also proud to be sponsored by Betway. Betway USA. If you want to place wagers and get in on the action for all your favorite sports, look no further. Betway has odds on over 1,000 markets while also offering incredible Betway boosts, which will be available for the PGA Championship and all major tournaments. And guess what? They let us pick which golfer gets boosted this week. I'm going to talk about it after this read with Ellis Gore from Betway. Register today at Betway and get up to $250 back in bonus bets with your first wager. All you need to do is sign up, make an initial deposit, and you'll be ready to bet with Betway. If real money gaming isn't your thing, you can always take part in Betway's Big Pick Challenges instead. Free-to-play game. Players can make weekly picks on select markets with a cash prize of $5,000 to whoever gets a perfect score. Possibilities really endless over at Betway. Visit the site, download the mobile app today, and commence on a fantastic gaming experience. For real money wagering, go to betway.com/sports or download the Betway mobile app. For the free-to-play game, go to betwaybigpick.com. You can also download the Betway Big Pick mobile app. Please gamble responsibly. Must be 21 years or older to wager with real money. Terms and conditions apply. And now joining us from Betway, much like he did prior to the Masters a month ago, is Ellis Gore. How are you, Ellis?
Doing well, man. Glad to be back. Excited to make some picks for the second edition of our Betway Beltway series here.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anyone that missed it, it was my episode with Garrett Johnston the week that we came up with the Masters, and it was the first of four of Majors Week podcast that Ellis and I are going to be making picks for that major as part of our partnership with Betway. And we might as well take a look in the rearview mirror and take a look at our Masters picks to see, before we make our PGA Championship picks for the week, to see how good or bad we did. And why don't we start with you, because you did a lot better than I did. Do you remember your picks? I have them here.
Well, so John Rahm won. I had to go back and like look that up. Forgot. It's been like a little while. I think I picked Spieth, Lowry, and Patrick Reed. I know Spieth and Reed both top fives, and Lowry with the top 20. So I'm happy with those.
That's pretty solid. I mean, anyone listening out there looking for tips, I think Ellis is your guy. I mean, we gave three picks, and we were even talking about doing kind of something like mid-range guys. Right. So I'd have to go back and listen again to remember what the odds were for Reed and Spieth. But yeah, two top fives and a T16 for Shane Lowry. So that's pretty solid for three picks.
Yeah, I'll take it. I finally won one of my like pools like for the first time this year. So I'm gonna put that on my resume. I think here about
like. I think you should. And I'm extra impressed by it because my three picks, I came out and got the Betway boost where we got increased odds for my pick, which was Rory McIlroy, which everyone knows was a total bust in the Masters, didn't make the cut. And my second pick was Corey Connors, who had made three straight top tens in Masters and was coming off a win, also didn't make the cut. And Sung Jae-im, who was T16 along with Shane Lowry. So I had one T20 and two missed cuts. So I'm not on, I've got a lot of ground to make up, and I plan to do so this week. So let's jump into it, because the Masters was a bust for your boy.
Let's do it. We're going to get him back here, Alex.
Okay. I'm excited. Do you remember much of the 2013 PGA Championship that the Duff won, Jason Duffner?
Of course. Duff, he's my guy. I grew up an Auburn fan, so I got to be a Jason Duffner fan. Unfortunately, I'm not sure he's still playing on the PGA Tour.
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, but yeah, it goes back, right? So it's been at Oak Hill a few times, right?
Sure. I feel like a lot of folks, I mean, what's the most memorable thing from that tournament? I have one in mind, and it has nothing to do with golf.
Really? What's yours?
It was the butt tap he did with his girlfriend on the 18th green after he won.
No,
but that was Jason. Jason Duffner was swinging the club so well that week. It was cool to see. And everyone loves Jason Duffner. Hope he regains form. But this, from everything I've heard, I mean, I'm not an Oak Hill expert, but everything I've watched and listened to, seems like it's compared to 2013, a totally different course. Right. A lot of the experts are picking, bombers to have a little bit of an advantage out here. So that's where I'm leaning for my picks. You know, John Daly did WD this morning, so we can't pick John Daly. Not that anybody was going to, but, always fun to see big JD in the PGA Championship. So let me jump out with my first, and we'll talk, because this is going to be the Betway boost for this week, much like McIlroy was for the Masters, hopefully with a better result. But I'm going with this month's cover boy for Golf Digest, the New York kid, Cameron Young, who rocks the is he still rocking the MLB logo on his lapel? I think so.
He is. I love that brand. I love that ad deal. That's so awesome. You need to see that more from the other leagues.
right. Absolutely. He's a big hitter. He's finished, you know, he's had a nice taste of majors now. You know, it might be a little early for him to get a win, but why not? I mean, he's playing great. He's in his home state, Cam Young's world right now. I like him. And his regular odds are 25-1 at +2,500. And Betway for Beltway Golf for listeners is going to do a boost up to +3,000. And not only that, also his top 20 odds. So this one's a no-brainer, I think. His top 20 odds are +130. And Betway is going to do a boost for listeners of this podcast to +175. Love that bet.
I love it too. When I was down at Augusta earlier, I got a chance to watch him. I followed him around his practice round for a few holes and got to watch him hit drivers up close. And it was just amazing. After that day, I said, he's gonna do well at Oak Hill. It's a bomber's golf course. He's got the strength to get it out of the rough. So I'm with you on that one, Alex. I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, his action is absurd. They do the little pictures in Golf Digest of like the swing. I was staring at a shoulder turn, just kind of like in the mirror trying to mimic it. Nowhere close.
That makes you feel bad, right?
Wow. Right. All right, who you got?
Yeah, so my first pick is going to be Tony Finau. I'm with you. I think he fits that kind of the driver, the long bomber model. I didn't realize this, but he's also leading the field in strokes gained approach this year. So he's got his irons really dialed in, and he won a couple weeks ago at the Mexico Open. That wasn't a very strong field, but you know, I feel like he's going to probably knock one of these majors out at some point. I don't know. I feel like he's got a good shot, this week.
I love that pick. He's figured out how to win, and now he seems to be winning every other week. It's a great pick. So I got two more guys I'm going to mention. I'm going to start with another guy who's got slightly better odds than Cam Young. Another young guy seems to be knocking on the door of majors and did so in the first two rounds at the Masters. And we didn't discuss. We might be throwing out the same guys. We'll see. Victor Hovland at +2,200. He looked good Thursday and Friday at the Masters. Why not? And so his last two major finishes, T7 at the Masters, T4 at the Open Championship of St. Andrews, and a big hitter. So this could fit him well.
He really has been knocking on the door. Big hitter, like you said. And I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember. I feel like I remember watching him play this golf course in his amateur career at some point. Could be completely off on that, but you're right. He's kind of flying under the radar too. I don't see a lot of people picking him, so you're getting good value there.
Who's your next up?
Yeah. My next one is going to be Matt Fitzpatrick. It just seems like this is one of those kind of U.S. Open type courses. It's a long, thick rough. He's a bit of a grinder himself. I think the weather this weekend could be a little bit blustery too. So if that happens, then I like his chances even more. He's 25-1 right now, so not a super long shot, but I think he'll play well.
I like that. That could be interesting. Back-to-back major years for Fitzpatrick. Yeah. He seems to be everywhere right now. He just won down at in Hilton Head. So his game is ripe for another major win. So speaking of Brookline, where he won last year, this one, you know, I couldn't resist. You know, he's the local guy. He's not a long hitter. He's not a big hitter, but he doesn't even have a win yet, but he's so due. And he follows this podcast. Denny McCarthy's in the field at 125-1. I don't have the top 20 odds in front of me right now. His last major was that major that Fitzpatrick won last year's U.S. Open. And he was a T7. You know, he played great on Sunday, made a big run on Sunday. Why not Denny McCarthy? Am I saying he's going to win? I don't know. But you know, he could sneak in a top 20, top 10.
Yeah.
He's playing well. You know, he's had a lot. I'm a sucker for the local guys. Beltway golfer. Come on. Those are my three.
Absolutely. Here you go. driving accuracy is huge at this course too, and he putts the lights out. Like, you know, there's nothing preventing him from making a run here. I love it. We're rooting for Denny.
Who's your number three?
All right, last one, my long shot, Gary Woodland, 70-1. He's actually been in good form. If you haven't been watching the last few weeks of PGA Tour golf, he's playing well, but he does fit the same kind of Tony Finau model. He's long off the tee, striking the ball well. I think he topped 28 at Augusta earlier this year, which I didn't even realize until I started doing some research. And he's, of course, he's got a major win at Pebble back in whatever that was, 2019. So a little bit battle tested, 70-1. I like the long shot there.
I like that. You know what? Your picks are looking good again. The listeners might want to listen to Mr. Gore over Mr. Dixon here. So you got Finau, Fitzpatrick, Woodland. I got Cam Young, Victor Hovland, and Denny McCarthy. We'll see how it shakes up. I might be digging myself a hole in our one-on-one matchup here. But those are our picks. Appreciate you joining us, Ellis.
Feels good on Monday.
that's right. I'm pumped for Major 2 of the season, and we will do this again before June's U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club.
Love it. Thanks a lot, Alex. Appreciate you having me on.
Let's get to our conversation with Mike Dixon, PGA Master Professional, inventor of the Lag Master Swing Aid, and Master Instructor for the Montgomery County Golf Academy up at Little Bennett. Episode 68 of the Beltway Golfer Podcast. Enjoy. All right, we are out here at Little Bennett Golf Course in Clarksburg, Maryland, Northern Montgomery County, with Mike Dixon. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
So, the first thing I want to ask you about, your title. So, Mike, it says Mike Dixon, PGA Master Professional. So, what is it? Obviously, there's PGA pros everywhere. I haven't seen too many PGA Master Professionals. What is it? What does it take to become a Master Professional?
So, there's 27,000 PGA members.
Okay.
And that includes Class A's, which usually your head pro is a Class A, like A1, director of golf, stuff like that. And you have your apprentices. Master Professional, the last I was told was there's 425 Master Professionals. So again, it takes, you can only go and apply for it.
Okay.
Now there's a lot more of a process. They go through stages. You have to go and become certified, specialized, and then you can go through the Master Professional. Basically, it's like writing a thesis. So, like, I had an 80-page paper that I had to put together, and that encompassed everything that I do in my instruction to my theories on short game, full swing, putting, my marketing.
Oh, wow.
Everything. Yeah, it's pretty elaborate. So,
before, it's like a book.
It was. And on top of, again, as a teacher, you're working 60, 70 hours a week. At the time, I had two kids, so it was kind of like trying to figure out when to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it took about 5 years to go through and complete it, and then I waited 2 years through COVID. And so,
but that 80-page thesis is in conjunction with additional coursework and classes, or no?
So, no, so it's more just trying, they just want to see what your theory and your framework and...
Okay. And then they look at that 80-page thesis.
Yep, and so that has to get approved. And okay. Then once that gets approved, you have to go. So I flew down to Texas. My mentor through the whole thing was Joe Plecker, who was at Baltimore Country Club and then mm-hmm. over at, I think it's Elkton Country
okay.
Club.
Yep.
Now he's down at the Landings in Georgia. So he helped me through the whole thing. And basically you got to sit in front of three people. And Joe is on the panel, and you have an hour to present that 80-page paper,
mm-hmm.
And you literally have to hit it on the number. I went over, so I was kind of freaking out the whole time, because they tell you, like, you can't go over.
Like, if you go 65 minutes, they're going to fail you.
Yep. So, I am like, yeah, so how much time do I have? And they said, yeah, you got 7 minutes. And I still had, like, 20 slides.
Okay.
Now it was more of the marketing stuff, so I wasn't too worried about it. So I kind of blew through it. And then after you do the whole presentation, you have to do a live lesson, 30-minute live lesson, random person. So they picked the person, ended up being a PGA faculty person.
Okay.
Not an avid golfer.
Yep.
It's 40 degrees in Dallas, Texas. Like we were, because the new center wasn't ready yet.
Yeah.
So they were still working out of the university space that they were running. And 40 degrees freezing, this guy, huge slice. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, it was cool because he got to warm up. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like I got to see the test before I even got to take it. But yeah, you have to change the ball flight. So I had to go through and I screened him. And again, he ended up doing some things that he wasn't supposed to do. And the motion changed and he couldn't hit a ball though. So we left the range, me thinking I fouled. And I get back to the clubhouse and I go into the restroom and I'm just like washing my face and just trying to calm down. And I walk out and Joe and Todd and I think it's Eric are like, hey, Mike, congratulations. You're now one of 427 master professionals in the country.
Oh, so they approved you fairly quickly.
Oh, yeah, good. No, yeah, you find out really quick. Thank God, because I would, if I had to go home.
They don't make you twist.
Oh, my God, I would have. It would have been, that would have been a rough go.
That's fair. So how many years ago was that?
Last March.
Oh, last March. Okay.
So almost, last year, March. So just over a year.
How has that, adding that master to your title, how does it benefit you with your clients and your industry and your career?
I think it's definitely a respect thing around like the peers, right? Like I think, I had someone approach me that I didn't know at the time. Now he actually works here. And he's like, hey, congratulations for you taking that on and, being that diligent about your craft and going through it. Because it is. It's a lot. It's a long time to go through and stressful.
Right.
A lot of my players don't understand it, right? Like, so a lot of the students don't really recognize it.
I'm sure they see that and they just know, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, when you hear the word master, like, it's like, okay, hey, like technically I'm a master instructor in the MCG mm-hmm. Academy.
Okay.
So it's kind of like I'm a double master. So, got it. But it's...
Just means you're highly qualified.
Yeah. Again, like, it was pretty cool. Like, they have a master's luncheon at the PGA show every year.
That's cool.
So there was, like, 80 master professionals in there. So that was... really cool. They did like a little presentation and just kind of talking about where the program's going. Even now, if someone enrolled into it now, it's completely different than when I started it.
Oh, interesting.
So it's again, they're trying to bring more credibility to it. Again, they have the specialized, they have certified. There's a lot of things going. I think more so just trying to really stand behind the fact that we are the experts because. Mm-hmm. Coming into the public sector, I think like in the private sector, it's kind of just assumed that you're a PGA member. Like it's pretty rare that you go to like, again, like when I was at Congressional, everyone was pretty much a PGA professional, right? Yeah, or an apprentice going through the process.
Yeah.
And when you come to like MCG, there aren't a lot of pros. A lot of PGA professionals, right? So like my boss is a PGA professional. Again, like our assistants here aren't. They're not even in the program, right? So it's different coming from where I was to here. Again, like I take a lot of pride into it. Like I think it makes me realize that again, like I gotta uphold the game and the values of the game, and again, just being that much more cognizant of what's going on.
So there's a few things I want to get into. One of them you just touched on, that you were at Congressional, but a big piece of this, we're going to wait to really get into it, but you're wearing a hat, says LAG, on your shirt says LAG Master. We got your bag here. It's all logoed out with the lion. You just went to market with an invention of yours, a swing aid called the LAG Master.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that. We're going to come back. But you literally, I mean, just went to market with this in the last week.
A week ago. Yeah, no, it's whirlwind. We're almost approaching its date of birth. I came up with the idea May 18th last year.
May 18th last year.
So it's almost a year from where, and it's gone a long way.
So MCG, Montgomery County Golf Academy, do they have, are there MCG instructors at all, what is it, 8 or 9 courses?
Most, yeah. So there's nine facilities. I think we have six or seven academies. But yeah, no, and usually there's like a head instructor at each one.
We're going to get all into the Lagmaster. I want to learn about how you came up with this mm-hmm. product, how you designed it, how you went to market. Let's learn a little bit about just kind of who Mike Dixon is, how you got into golf. Do I have it right? You're not from this area, from Ohio?
Grew up in Northeastern Ohio.
Okay. What got you into golf?
My dad. So I tell people all the time, like, I've pretty much had a club in my hand since I could probably crawl with it. So there's a picture of me, my dad holding me when I was still in the hospital after I was born. And on the back of the picture, like, it looks like I'm holding his finger. And it says, well, he looks like he has a good grip. So my dad was a golf nut. The lowest.
So he immediately took that as a sign.
He loves golf. Like, my mom would tell me how when they lived in Marion, Ohio, she would look out back and the mower would be like halfway mowed through the yard, and then he'd be gone going to play golf. So he loved golf. He grew up. His dad really didn't play golf growing up. He was, I think, like a 5-sport varsity athlete.
Oh wow!
So he was a really good athlete, and he really taught me. I didn't get my first lesson until I was 16, and that was from a PGA professional named Dennis Miller, who really good player on his own, qualified for the Open, I think a couple times, the U.S. Open. And I never worked at a golf course until, like, I was going to be an architect, to be truthfully honest.
Okay.
My dad went to Cincinnati. I was accepted to the University of Cincinnati for architectural engineering. And I come home, again, Northeast Ohio, cold January day, and my mom's like, hey, you know, you can go to golf to school to be a golf pro. And I'm like, well, that sounds way cooler than being behind a desk my whole life. And one thing you learn really quick is being a golf pro, you don't play golf. Unfortunately. Again, there's some lucky few. But so we went up, and again, Ohio State fan. I can't go to Penn State. There was only 4 schools. New Mexico was kind of out of the question. Mississippi State was one of the others, and then Ferris State. So we crossed enemy lines into the team up north, and I applied, got in, and rest is history. Went to Ferris State, graduated in 02, took my first job in Florida that I interned at, and full circle, had a member down there that got me an interview at Congressional, and took the job. I came to D.C. making $10 an hour at Congo. And
really? What was your first role at Congressional?
I was basically a counter jockey, right? Okay. Like, I answered phones. Yeah. I really, again, it's such a huge operation. Like, it's a factory. Like, people don't understand. Like, it's not just, it's a country club.
Sure.
But it is, like,
huge membership.
It is a Four Seasons, right? That just has members that, and is pickleball and tennis and pool and golf. It's just nonstop. So, like, real quick, I realized that I needed to make extra money, and teaching was that way. And I got really lucky at the time. The director of instruction, his name was Danny Shantz, awesome dude, and was super passionate about the people that he taught and his students. And really, like, I'd teach half as much as he did, and, like, I'd try to just listen as much as I could because I really had no idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2009, he was actually under one of these when a lightning storm popped up and got struck by lightning.
What? Really? I've never heard that.
Yep. So he's still alive, and he moved to South Carolina. He's professionally fishing now. That was his other passion, was to fish.
But that incident ended his career at
Congressional? As a golf, like, as a, again, like, he just, it, basically his symptoms were similar to, like, a stroke victim.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
And it was really, really hard because, like, what sucked even more was my...
Being under one of these, there's a lot of metal.
Yeah. In these. So we don't know exactly if
For people that are just listening, hit. What are we under right now?
So we're under a 40-foot umbrella, basically. It's cover shots. It's mobile. Congressional has an 80-foot one, or they had, before they redid the range and put the teaching center in. So when I came here, this is something that I personally purchased because under that for 17 years, you get really accustomed to being in the shade when it's 95 and humid.
Yeah.
So we don't know if it hit the canopy or it came through the ground, but it messed them up pretty good, unfortunately. And I was hoping to approach my boss at the time in August was my game plan. That happened in June. And originally my thought was in August, I wanted to go to him and tell him I wanted to teach full time. And after that happened, I felt like I couldn't do that, right? Like it was really kind of almost selfish and, you know, just not good. Because I, again, like I felt terrible for Danny. A guy would give you a shirt off his back, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking to my wife, and this is probably December, and she's like, Mike, if you don't tell John you want to teach full time and they hire someone else, you're never going to be able to live with yourself, right? And I thought I knew kind of like what I was doing. I enjoyed it way more than answering phones, that was for sure. And at that point, I was first assistant, so I ran the outside operations. I had run tournaments. I did the receiving for the hard goods. Like I kind of, that's the cool part. Again, you get to do all of that stuff as an assistant there. And it's a monster. But I wanted to teach. And so I approached my boss and he's like, all right, if you're sure, you know, you need to start learning how to teach. So you need to go to the teaching summit. You got to do all this stuff. And that's where I met Lynn Blake, who is my mentor and probably, my opinion, the most versed on the golfing machine. He's one of eight people who learned and studied under Homer personally.
Okay.
And
what's interesting is I was not familiar with Lynn Blake, but I knew you were a student of the golfing machine, which is Homer Kelly's book from 1969. He was a Boeing engineer.
Yeah, so he wasn't even a golf instructor, right? He's just a... He was a genius.
Right. Basically. And so I've never read the book. I don't have the book, but I'm aware of it, and I understand how influential it's been. But before this interview, actually on my drive up here, I punched in golfing machine podcast in Google just to see if there was any about it. And like the first three came up were all Lynn Blake.
Yeah. And he's a very energetic guy. When he starts going, you can't stop him.
Got it, okay.
But he doesn't even have it memorized, but he can tell you word for word. Like if you pull up a page, he can tell you word for word. He has it memorized, but he knows it in and out. He understands the geometry and the physics and really what Homer was doing. But he had a way to communicate it. And so like I go to the teaching summit, he's the first person to teach and do this seminar and present. So this was the last time I was ever outside. It was at the time, the Nick Faldo Academy. Okay. So this huge bleaster set up, 525 people, right? And so Lynn's like, all right, everybody stand up. So everybody stands up. And he's like, put your hands out. All right, so go ahead and put your hands out for a second. All right, so you're going to learn more about your hands than a tour pro. Okay. Ready? So if they're turned to the right, roll to the left,
okay,
or vertical to the ground, okay?
Yep.
They can arch in,
okay,
bend back,
okay,
or flat, right?
Okay.
Fingers down is uncocked, fingers up is cocked, and where your thumb joint is parallel and level, right, to your forearm, that's level. So why is that important? Well, again, in the world that we're living in right now, we have a lot of people using sophisticated words. But I can tell you in your backswing, okay, hey, you arched your wrist, you bent your wrist, right? I don't have to do supination, pronation, because again, one hand goes the other way. Like, what sounds easier?
Yep.
So as complicated as the golfing machine is to people, that's pretty simple.
Sure.
Right? So the other part is medically at impact, your hand, your left hand, is neutral, neutral, neutral. And in golf machine, it's flat, level, and vertical. Which one sounds better?
Sure.
I don't know. So
is a lot of that what it is? It's kind of simplifying
the terminology. I think like as a PGA professional, it's like, okay, we have a lot of different things out there. And I understand people might be trying to get like make a name for themselves or whatever. So they start making up words, right? Let's just be honest. Like the golf swing is the golf swing. All of a sudden, hey, we can use our feet. Yeah, well, they were doing that before,
right?
They talked the greats talked about that in books in 1940 and 50. But what Homer did was he basically broke the swing down into pieces and components, and then he categorized them. It's not a system. So like you hear stack and tilt or two plane, one plane. Those are methods. Those are like that's a model that you're trying to follow. Homer. Like there's 45 24 components, 144 variations. Basically saying there's like 10 quadrillion ways to do it.
Right.
He's not saying there's one way, right? So Homer Kelly wrote the pattern for Jim Furyk's golf swing before Jim Furyk was even born. It's not a swing. Like, the problem is Ben Doyle, who was one of the first people to ever get the book from Homer, because they were in the same church. Yeah. He approached Ben. Ben had a pattern that he liked. And so a lot of people basically think of that pattern as the golfing machine.
So how do you apply, if the, again, I haven't read the book.
Sure.
But
and
if it's,
and it's an encyclopedia.
Right.
It's a reference. It's a reference book. It's not like a five fundamentals things that you can read.
Okay.
It's, and that's the hard part, right?
But on the one hand, I'm hearing you say it simplifies a lot of the language, which I'm all for.
Sure.
I hate the complicated. You know, I hate the unnecessary acronyms and complicated terminology when there's always a simpler, or nine times out of ten, there's a simpler phrase or word for it. But on the other hand, 24 points with a quadrillion different ways to do it.
So your grip would be one of the 24 components, right? So that would be the easiest one to kind of pick, right? And he categorized seven different ways. So seven ways out of that 144, seven of them is how to hold the, how to grip your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So interlock, overlap, reverse overlap, left hand low, 10 finger, right? So it's like, that's not complicated. That's just saying, hey, like, I'm trying to put everything together. And again, like, as the, a professional, if you, I have
so
a.
What he's saying, just sticking on the grip,
sure.
that any of those could work.
All work.
Right.
Right. Again, like, you can't tell me that the reverse doesn't work because there's people who do it, right? There's people who chip that way. Right. Again, like, so it's more just saying, hey, how can we go through and figure out what's for you, right? Again, the orientation of the hands, he talks about that too. But the guy was just, he saw it in a different way. And so, and this is where Len said that when he was going through and he recorded his, I think it was like 3 days with Homer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other people that was in his group, I want to say, I can't remember his last name. I believe it was, his first name was Mike, but he was the Oklahoma State coach with all the national championships.
Okay.
He was one of the four that was in Len's group, right? And Homer's going through, so he gave me all this audio that he recorded when he was there, and it's, like, amazing to listen to Homer go through and talk about it. And he's like, yeah, you know, I always felt like I was one day away from finishing the book, but the reason why I felt like I could never stop was because I didn't think someone would be able to see the swing the way I saw it for another 500 years.
Interesting.
Right. So the guy just, he just saw things different. That's, he was known as the problem guy at Boeing. He wasn't an engineer. He was just like, his job was to find ways to bring planes out of the sky and fix them, not to keep them up.
Oh, interesting.
Right. Like, it's just, he just saw it different. So I take, again, like, there's a lot of people who bash on the golf machine. And again, I kind of got it from Lynn a little bit. I take it personal. Because again, like, you, if you're trying to tell me that you're smarter than a guy who saw it that way, there's no chance. I'm sorry. Like, it's just, it's
do you think the,
crazy.
So you go down, you meet Lynn Blake.
Back to the story. Sorry.
But he becomes this huge, well, I'm not yet. Well, he becomes this huge influence on you. And I'm aware that the golfing machine has probably had the most influence on teaching professionals. Is it the kind of book that golfers, the, you know, non-professional golfers, amateurs should be reading themselves, or is that would be overwhelming?
I think it's overwhelming. And again, like, in the book, Homer goes through in the table of contents and tells you how to read it.
Mm-hmm.
He tells you what, like, how, like, what part to start. It's not a start at page one and read through.
Yeah.
If you start on page one, you're probably gonna get to page five and you're gonna throw the book down, because he makes all these interconnections and stuff. And that's where really Lynn, I met Lynn in January. In March, I went to Charlotte for his level one training. In April, I went to Georgia. He was at Tuscola at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was, like, all in, right? Because I'm like, again, as the engineer part of me, I'm like, this is exactly what I need, right? And I started researching, and a lot of the top instructors in the world have some knowledge of the golf machine, right? Whether it's Again, like Bernie Nager or Case Valley. Like he, I'm totally blanking on the guy's name. He was the player, Mac O'Grady, right? Sarah Stone at Chevy Chase.
Sure.
Mac O'Grady, right? So the thing that I'm lucky is I kind of have like this pure view of it. And again, Lynn, I think Lynn has a preference, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the problem with a lot of teachers. We find a pattern that we like.
Yeah.
And we try to shove everybody into that mold. And that's where after, again, that was 2010. I would say probably 2011, I met Mike Adams, who I started learning more about how the body moves and how your body's built influences all these patterns, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the bio swing dynamics. And now I'm doing Dr. Wright stuff with balance. And it's like, okay, that tells me what patterns I need out of the golfing machine that fits your swing.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like a cheat code almost. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Interesting. Not sure I can totally wrap my head around it, but I don't
know. Yeah. Well, that's where, again, like what we want to do too. Like today, we'll go through and we'll screen you. Okay. Again, like Ken, we were talking about your golf swing. And again, if you're trying to do stuff that you're not really built to do, mm-hmm. it's a really hard game.
So this is, you said this is 2010. Mm-hmm. So then you start teaching full time at Congressional. So are you a full time teacher there? Because then the U.S. Open came in 2011.
Yep, 2011. So I ran the range. Like I was in charge of the staff on the range. The again, like I think it was 8 PGA Tour events, like with the Tiger Woods. I ran the merchandise tent. Like I've done the stuff that is on the resume is crazy, but I always kind of came back to teaching. Like that was like where my passion was, and got to sit on the range and again, pick the balls, clean the balls, sort the balls. But I had access to the range tee, right? Which again, like at a major, it was pretty amazing, right? And you watch Vijay Singh just sit there and he had like a Gatorade bottle. He's knocking. I'm like, dude, you're not going to hit that Gatorade bottle. I don't know what the point of that bottle is down there, but and he's such a good ball striker, right?
Did that impact you much? Because you're only a year into being a full-time teacher and then the best players in the world come to your range.
Yeah, I think it makes you realize, again, like they're all trying to figure out what's going on just like us, right? Mm-hmm. And they just do it at a lot more higher level. Again, the precision's a lot tighter.
Yeah.
But again, like I would listen to the teachers, right? So Lynn was there actually with Brian Gay. So I got to sit in with him and met Mike Bender for the first time. And when Mike lost his camera, someone stole his like high-speed camera and we were trying to track it down for him.
So, you stayed at Congressional. So total, how many years were you there?
17 years.
17 years.
Yep. Long time.
And you came over to Little Bennett just a few years ago, right?
Yep. So hardest decision I ever had to make.
I was going to say, right. I think a lot of people listening, that would be the first, well, why? You know, this place is great.
Yeah.
I mean, this is unbelievable view.
Yeah.
I haven't been up here in a few years, but Little Bennett, you know, there's not a house in sight.
It's like 200 acres of state park.
That massive property.
Yep.
Gorgeous up here. But people would wonder, why
leave right before they build a huge teaching center that's like state of the art and like a dream to be able to teach in?
Yeah.
So going through COVID, I think kind of had a little bit of influence on it, to be truthfully honest. I really didn't get to see my first son. We lived over on Kent Island when we had our first son. Didn't get to really watch him grow up. And so during COVID, I got to spend a lot more time with our second son. At the time, he was probably 3 or 4. I homeschooled my first grader, which I don't want to ever go back to having to do again. And we were pregnant with our third at the time when I was making the decision.
You homeschooled your first grader while you were...
During COVID.
Okay, so you weren't going to Congressional? Or
no, we had my mother-in-law and father-in-law move in with us right before the COVID shutdown. And when it kind of started coming out, I quit like a week before the full shutdown.
Oh, really?
Okay. She was really sick, so I didn't... If I was a reason why something would have happened, I never would have been able to live with myself, right? To make a couple bucks teaching a golf lesson.
Yep.
So I made the decision to leave. And again, I'll never forget it. Like I was talking with John Scott. He's like, so what do you think? We'll be back by like May? And I'm like, I feel like this is a little bit more serious than like a couple week thing. And again, like it turned out, I don't think we went back till August, maybe.
Yeah.
It was kind of the full stream. But so I left Congressional, and after the whole COVID thing, and 2 weeks later, we had my baby girl.
Okay.
She's two now. So again, 25 minute commute versus an hour and 15 each way. And
yeah,
it was just pretty strenuous. But again, like it made me realize that again, like I didn't get to see them. I didn't get to really spend a lot of time with my family. And,
and 17 years is a long time on place.
Yeah. And again, like I have an amazing wife, Amber, that works full time toxicology lab and amazing mom, but it was a lot, right? Yeah. So it's like third kid, like I get to do the bus stop now, like take the kids to the bus stop, and I don't necessarily get home earlier, a little bit sometimes, but, you know, again, like I've had them out here probably more than I had them at Congressional.
Yeah.
It's just not really conducive to driving an hour and 15 minutes to
that's a big
bring
commute.
The kids. Yeah. Right. So, and, again, like the reason why I came here is it's huge. I do a lot of group instruction, a lot of coaching. And again, it really provides that ability to do that and have access to the golf course. And again, the team here is great. Dan does an amazing job maintaining the course. The greens are, I've been here for 2 years. I've never seen the greens in bad shape. And Jeff is a great person to work under and is, again, like I kind of have free run within within reasons. Again, MCG has been really good to me and really grew it up. And that's the whole goal. Like my whole goal was to come here and try to create, you know, a high level academy where I feel like the public doesn't have a lot of access to great instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I feel like our section in general, the Mid-Atlantic, is like littered with great teachers. And so it's cool to be around. Like we just had a group thing 2 Mondays ago up at Kays Valley, and it's just there to again get engulfed into what's going on. And again, it's like geek talk, right? Golf swing and again, you think it.
A lot of great teachers. But I did see you won Mid-Atlantic PGA Teacher of the Year in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it was probably. Again, like at the time, it's kind of like a lifetime achievement,
right?
You know, so yeah, it's been good.
All right, so now you've been here a couple of years. When did the concept or idea for the Lagmaster? Where did this come from?
So I had a lesson that came out. He was referred to me by a congressional member. He's friends of a Congo member, and comes up. And he's like, let's book 2 hours. I want to come up. I want to, like, take it all in. I'm like, okay. His name's Andy Fireman. And he probably hit 3 golf balls in those 2 hours, right? It was almost a data dump on, like, golf machine and all this stuff. And he's like, Mike, this is great.
The rest is you just talking to him.
Yeah, like, I was basically demonstrating and really kind of showing him what was going on. And, which most lessons aren't like that. Like, I don't know really, like, I kind of look back and I'm like, why did we do it that way? Like, that was just, it was really odd. So he called me, he texted me, he's like, hey, I want to chat with you. I think I have an idea. And so he calls me, he's like, hey, like, you know, if you could come up with like one really good idea, you wouldn't have to teach golf your whole life. And I'm like, well, that would be great. Problem is, again, it takes money to do that, right? File patent and all that stuff. He's like, I got a patent lawyer. Don't worry about that. And turns out to be a great patent lawyer. And I just start kind of doing some things. And I honestly can't really figure out how I figured out how to make it work. But I'll never forget. I put it on a gentleman. His name's Bill. He was the first person to use it. And it actually was 2 different training aids combined. And he goes through. I'm like, okay, you just want to let that touch your shoulder, and we want to try to keep it on the shoulder. And he hit a ball, and it sounded just completely different.
Yeah.
And he turned to me, looking at me, he's like, that was different. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's
what you want.
That worked.
Right.
So,
but backing up, was that your idea the whole, like, Once you decide, okay, this sounds good, I want to create something. I want to create a product that can help golfers. Yeah. Was the concept of maintaining lag, was that what you were looking for from the beginning?
Not necessarily. Again, like, I think, like, I actually met Tom Watson at the PGA show. I sent one to Tom, his agent, and Tom, like, his secret to golf was actually probably more influential to it. Again, he talks about how he wanted to get the left shoulder to be replaced by the right shoulder, right? And he talks about how it's staying in posture and whatnot. You know, so I would get in. And one of those things where, as a teacher, the second that I start to move you, you're not doing anything.
Okay.
Right? And so that's sometimes the problem with a training aid is if it's forcing you to be in a position, you're not learning. The aid is actually doing all the work.
Okay.
Right? It's kind of like the goal of a crutch.
Yep.
The crutch is doing and taking a lot of the abuse so you don't hurt the broken leg, right?
Yep.
And so I would go in and I would try to get somebody and I would kind of like move them down. And then I had a lesson with a guy, and there's this training aid. It's actually like a stretcher for like your rotator cuff, like for like rehabbing your rotator cuff.
Okay.
It's all over Facebook now. It's like this little 90 degree thing, and it's got like a little.
I've seen that. Yeah.
If you're in golf, you get the ads. Sure. Like I get like, it's funny. I start like Googling training aids. All I get is training aids.
Right.
And he goes through, but you couldn't really swing a club with it. But like I saw what it was doing. You know, so I go through and I kind of put some stuff together and I'm like, huh, okay, that works. And the thing is, lag is the result, right? So, like, it's everyone wants more lag, but because...
Meaning if you do all the sequencing...
Yeah, like, the sequence master doesn't sound cool, right? But that's what it's doing, right? Like, because, like, I would tell you the two things that I struggle with 95% of the time when people come up for a golf lesson is how they're holding the club, because the proper grip doesn't feel right, feels terrible, to be honest. So most people grip it wrong. And they, because of that, in my mind, they sequence it incorrectly because we call it a throw release, right? So everybody knows it as a cast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how I teach people to hit pitch shots, right? Stan Utley. I mean, he wants it to be thrown as much as you can because that's a sweep release is what we call that.
Okay.
So it's a way to square the club, but it's not a good way with a 7-iron or a driver, right? Because the wedge is going to point up, the 7-iron is pointing to the right.
Why don't you tell you, so now tell someone who's just listening, who hasn't seen what it looks like.
Sure.
And you give it the 30-second elevator pitch of what is it? How would you describe what the actual physical product is?
Sure. So it connects to any club. But then again, like we try to tell you, like mid-iron.
Okay.
In 2 seconds, goes to the end of the grip. It's lefty or righty, doesn't matter because it can pivot and swivels. But the goal is to go back and it adjusts, but it wants to touch your trail shoulder. And if I swing my arms down incorrectly, the ball comes off your shoulder right away.
Right.
If I keep it on my shoulder, I have
the ball being
of the lag master. So it's like a 90 degree bend off of the shaft.
And on the end of it is the ball that touches your shoulder.
Yep. Right. So when it goes up to the top, it's touching your shoulder, right? And again, it's kind of keeping your hands by your shoulder. But and this is where the Tom Watson thing came into play, because it's like, if I let that right shoulder work down and under, the hands don't want to go first, right? And I would say it's going to feel like you're throwing an uppercut, right? Most people are throwing a hook,
right?
So their shoulder's swinging out and over the top versus down and under. Again, I open a Golf Digest. There's Tiger Woods says, I feel like I'm throwing an uppercut punch.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, hey, I'm not messing people up.
Right.
But it was as much on accident as I can probably say, because it's not something that I've had brewing in my mind for a long time. It was just, again, Andy kind of sparked me to start thinking about it. We actually have an amazing putter concept that we're going to come out with.
Okay.
We're probably going to license it to somebody. That was actually my first idea, and he was kind of running with that, and I'm like, listen, putters are going to make some money, but training aid is going to be a lot better. But yeah, so it's going up to the top, touches your shoulder, and it stays on your shoulder, and then it releases halfway down, right? And then the cool part was, by accident, it went to the other shoulder.
So I haven't used it yet, but I mean, it looks pretty simple. I mean,
it's super simple.
The concept is simply
super simple.
Keep the ball touching your shoulder as long as you can, essentially?
Yeah, for halfway down. Because there's a point where, again, kind of going back into the golfing machine thing, we're trying to load the club, mm-hmm. right? And we want to store the load, right? And that's the lag part.
Okay.
And then I need to deliver it, right, into impact. Well, what I find when people are trying to manipulate lag, they're trying to keep that angle between the arm and the shaft of the club. Mm-hmm. That's what most people understand lag is. Right, so they think they need more lag, so they get like a 45-degree angle. Well, you're sacrificing your wrist condition,
okay.
which we know that most tour players actually arch the wrist slightly,
yeah.
not bend the wrist.
Right.
Okay. Right. So again, so going back to the wrist conditions.
As you said, I always thought, and maybe tell me if I've thought about the concept of lag incorrectly,
mm-hmm.
which is more than possible. But I've always thought of lag as just being, you know, your hands in the club lag behind the rest of your
100%. No, you know. you're dead.
So it's
right.
it's almost like a reminder. If you're thinking about, I need to, you know, work on lag. It's the same thing as working on clearing your hips first. It's
right.
The
well,
sequence.
Again, like the sequence. And so, like you did your 3D with Jason right down at Peak, and again, like you look at every sport has a kinematic sequence, and golf, because our ball doesn't move, we destroy it.
Why do so many people struggle with it? I struggle with it. I think I had more lag on my swing in my 20s, and at some point I lost it.
Yeah, well, I would tell you, like, so grip is going to play a big factor into it.
Okay.
Right? It's when you move. I tell this to people all the time in the lesson. It's not so much how, it's when. And mm-hmm. it's because that ball is just sitting there mocking us, mm-hmm. right? And it's ruthless in what it tells us.
Yeah.
If we, again, like, you mess up, everybody knows,
mm-hmm.
right? And so going through, and again, like, I had some other stuff that, like a great guy down in Texas, Mike, he does Mach 3 speed training. And it was just, I kept on hearing all these different things. And, like, he talks about how the rib cage would go inverted. And I'm like, all of this is reacting, but it's like, no one's talking about what the hands are doing, right? Right. They're talking about the body. So technically, the lag master, like, I've got a case over here full of training aids, right?
Yeah.
There's not one, and I buy everything. It's kind of like you meet an instructor. It's like, hey, where's your training aid bag? It's like, yeah. It looks like a circus, right?
How many training aids do you think are on the market right now?
On the market? Oh, my God. Way too many. Way too many that don't work. Yeah.
I brought Mike a book called, I found it on Amazon. I bought it like
golf
6 months ago randomly,
but
it's called Golf Gadgets. And I think it was printed in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it was all the golf gadgets that were on there, and some of them are just
ridiculous. There's not too much out there that's unique, right?
Right.
And that's the crazy part. So, like, I was going through, and I had PVC pipe and a foam ball and, like, this thing. And, like, the prototype was so rudimentary, but it worked.
Yeah.
And, like, I was getting people to shift their weight, swing it on plane, not coming over the top, like all these things. Like, and I'm like, cool, I was just trying to help the sequence. And I, like, all of a sudden, so when you start talking about what's lag is controlling the geometry of the golf swing.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I don't have to cock my wrist to have lag.
Yep.
Because I can go where my wrist is level. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, like Bryson DeChambeau, he doesn't really cock it. I think he might cock it in the downswing, kind of like a little Steve Stricker, like download it.
That's what I think of almost most of anybody, Steve Stricker.
Yeah,
of not
that club hinging. It's just the club head is lagging behind.
Yeah.
Right? There's a pressure that, again, Homer Kelly, pretty smart guy, he said there's four key pressure points in the golf swing. Number one was the right hand on top of the left thumb.
Okay.
Number two is the club underneath the left heel pad. Number three is the pointer finger of the right hand. That's what's driving and pushing the shaft. And number four is my left arm on my left pec. Like, I think it's one of those things where it's very misconstrued because people are trying to obtain this angle, right, in their arm in the club, and they're doing it with their arms.
Yep.
Well, if you want to get rid of a chicken wing, technically you need more right shoulder. And that's really what happened when I was trying to get people to do what Watson was talking about, trying to get the right shoulder to work down, replace the left, all of a sudden these angles started to happen,
mm-hmm.
right? So why is lag such an important aspect of the golf swing? Well, yeah, it creates speed, but it's creating speed because you're releasing all of that lever and that power at the right time.
Right.
It controls the geometry of the swing. So I stop hitting behind the ball, hitting the top of the ball, chicken winging, right? I don't, again, like I talk about this when people are like trying to explain the golf swing. It's like, okay, the golf swing's, again, I know it's not a perfect circle. People will argue that. Again, people stand on their podium and like, sure. Hey, it's not a circle. I know it's an ellipse, but relatively a circle. And the best players in the world make that circle as wide as they can going back, mm-hmm. narrow coming down, and really wide in the follow through, right? So you talk about like the hand path.
Yep.
What everybody else does is they go really narrow to really wide to really narrow again.
Yeah, amateurs.
Chicken wing. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, and that's where I started watching. Again, I had just player after player. And it was cool because before I didn't have any swag, right? Like I didn't have logoed hats and stuff. And I would just say, hey, let's try this. Like, wow, this is really cool. Where can I buy it? And I'm like, it's not available yet. And it was like 90% of the time people would say, hey.
Oh, so like, you already had this like kind of as a prototype.
I had a prototype. And again, I had like carbon fiber tape on it to make it look cool.
Yeah.
And people are like, wow, this is great. Like, can I get one? And I'm like, well, they're not in production yet. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, you invented this? And I'm like, yeah. Like, that's so cool. So it was like the most humbling and flattering thing that I ever gone through. And again, for a guy who used training aids every day, most of the time, no one would ask, hey, where can I get that? Mm-hmm. It'd be rare, right? Yeah, you might have like one out of 100 people.
Yeah.
But like it hit every time. And again, like it was creating this feeling that I couldn't give them.
Yeah.
Right.
How has this process been bringing this to market? Are you you're by
pulling
yourself?
My hair out.
Are you essentially by yourself? Like, or do you have help?
Yeah. So again, Andy was very helpful, and he's been in the product business for a long time. His dad was in the swim business, making swim equipment for like Target, Walmart, and stuff. We got a great manufacturer who's in out of the United States. They use a factory that's in Taiwan, but they do 80% of the work that's out of that factory. So they basically kind of run it per se. But again, like we got an awesome team.
How long was that process? Like going from drawing it like on a piece of paper to like having the real thing?
I probably drew down the schematic again. Like I came up with the idea. I have video of me using it April 18th or May 18th.
Of last year.
Last year. Put it on paper. Again, we had our first real 3D printed prototype probably. Like, we didn't really start really pushing it until August, like September.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we started doing 3D prototypes. And I found out 3D prototypes are not meant for function. They're meant for look and touch and feel. The first one I hit, it just like obliterated into pieces. And I'm like, oh my God. I, like my gut dropped into my feet. I'm just like, oh, like, this
I designed
is,
this
I gotta,
all wrong.
We got to go completely back to scratch. And talking to the manufacturers, they're like, yeah, no, don't worry about it. Like the stuff we're going to make this out of, it ain't going to break. And it doesn't. It's been amazing. And to go from paper to the first one I got in my hands, they aired it over. I got it the day before I left for the PGA show in January.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So it was a full, again, like going through the design process and it's a lot.
So, and what's like, give us the rundown of, you know, what does one of these things cost? Where can people find it? Where can they buy it?
Sure. So we have our website is now live. Again, like we said, I didn't know it was live. I just went in and saw someone had bought it out of the blue. And I'm like, oh, hey, we're selling them. So it's lagmastersports.com.
Okay.
Lagmaster is a construction tool, so don't go to Lagmaster.
Okay.
Lagmastersports.com, and we're taking pre-orders right now. We're hoping to have them here by June.
Nice.
So ideally would be great for Father's Day. That's kind of what I'm hoping. Originally, we were supposed to have them here by March for the Masters, and again, we had some things got held up. But I love where we're at. And again, like I think, can I grab one real quick?
Yeah.
So for the people watching.
Sure. It's smaller than I imagined.
Yeah. So this is actually, you were on our list to get one too. So we got you some lag swag.
Oh, look at that. Right? Thank you.
And then, so pretty easy. It has like this little screw thing. On goes. And again, so righty is going to turn about 30 degrees to the right.
Okay.
Lefty goes to the left.
Got it.
Right? Okay. So we it usually matches the top line.
Yep.
And again, I put it on a 7-iron or an 8-iron. And we're just going to do practice swings. So see if I can get it here. So yep. You go up to the top.
Yep.
Touches your trail shoulder.
Okay.
Stays on the shoulder. And about here where the left arm is parallel to the ground, that's where it's going to start to come off.
Got it.
Right?
So what does it look? What does it look like when you're doing it wrong?
Yeah, so that way, okay. Right? So that's the cast. But this is where people are trying to hold that lag. But this isn't moving. My body has to transport my arms, right? So Jack Nicklaus said the arms in the club get a free ride back to the ball.
Yeah.
Right. And again, even when I was getting lessons, no one really taught me how to bring the club down the right way. Right. And it was actually like. One of those things where it's like, okay, hey, there's different ways to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing, again, like you go in, like I watch people change their weight shifts. How their whole body started moving was different.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that you can technically put on your club. Now, there's some other training aids out there that are kind of doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing trains your body, your arms, and your hands yep. simultaneously and gives you instant feedback
yeah.
when you do it wrong.
Right.
And again, in my head, it's like, okay, hey, like feel is real now.
Sure.
Right. So I'm gonna try it.
Sure. I'm gonna stand up.
So again, look like you have a little arm, longer arm. So what we can do is we twist this upper knob. It kind of telescope out.
Okay.
It also unscrews a little bit too for a little bit more. So we're going to make it a little taller.
Okay.
Just in case.
Okay. So I'm here. So I come up. So if I'm starting here. Yep.
So again, if we wanted to say, okay, maybe a little too much bend here.
Okay.
So making sure that if you go and you bend your wrist, it won't touch your shoulder the right way.
Okay.
So here, and it's just going to keep folding. There you go.
So here it's touching.
Yep. And then we're going to try to keep it on for about till the arm is parallel to the ground. Yep.
Right there.
Yep. And then it's going to release and go all the way up nice and slow, all the way up to your other shoulder.
And then it's supposed to touch the other shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Aha.
That kind of happened by accident.
Interesting. That felt early.
Yep.
So you start
seeing it again, and it's instant feedback. Like there's nothing, trust me, I have them all. They're in that case over there. Like you got the swing guide, which kind of shows you what you're doing with your wrist.
And then is the idea you get to a point where you're doing full speed swings with it?
I would tell you, we're trying to go down the idea of motor memory learning, right? Mm-hmm. And again, so the problem with most people when they're trying to learn is they come out, they hit balls, and they hit it just a ton of golf balls.
Yeah, well, you get back in there.
And so we go through, we hit a ton of golf balls. You're like, oh, hey, I got good practice. Okay, well, you hit 60 balls, and it took 2 seconds, right? We do easy math. 2 seconds to hit per ball. You practice for all of 2 minutes.
Okay.
It's what you did in between, right? And so it's if we can go and get you where you're swinging slower, methodical, breaking it into pieces, trying again, what Homer talked about was, he's like, I want you, mechanics create feel, feel reproduces mechanics, right? So it's like, I'm a feel player. Well, we're all feel players,
mm-hmm.
right? But I need to have some mechanics behind this thing so that I can start to create some feels. I had people where their arms are too high. I had one guy comes up from Colombia. His club was always past parallel.
Okay.
Right? Like super past. He's like, and I put it on. He's like, I've never done that. He's like, I'd cut off my left arm for that. And I'm like, yeah, well, you don't have to do that. You just kind of wait a little bit.
Right.
But so it's been awesome to watch. And the problem with people making changes to their golf swing, usually, again, they don't have that guide, right? Again, the best players in the world have a teacher and a coach that follow them, right? And tell them when they're doing stuff the wrong way or what they aren't doing correct and pumping them up. It's more mm-hmm. of kind of probably positive influence thing. But that's kind of what my thought is with the Lagmaster. Again, it's like that guide that shows you and tells you when you do it the right way. And it's adjustable. And again, kind of off the bio swing dynamics, we know your arms are longer. You're going to need it. Your arms are going to be higher. So we can make that adjustment. That's really the trickiest part is trying to figure out where It's going to be set for you.
Yep. Are you using this pretty much with all your clients now?
It's like every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is one of these? What are you selling for one of these for?
Retails for $100.
$100.
Yep. And Andy came out with his idea. He's like, we should be able to make something where there's like a little club so you can practice it at home. So I cut this club up and we counterweight it and I take it to, I'm like, I don't really want to do this idea. So, and we call it the mini club, but it was a really cool idea, right? And like swing at home, you don't have to hit the ceiling and stuff. So we took it to China and China randomly sent us two prototypes. There's only two of these in the world.
Okay.
And it was like a chipper, right? Like a little chipper. But it was for lefty and righty. I'm like, I don't want to do a test, like a training club, because then I have to have a righty club and a lefty club, and that's just going to be a mess. So I'm like, well, let's do it like a chipper. So it's face related. I take it to the show, and it's more just to demo that. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved it.
Really?
And I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're going to do a mini club. So technically, the mini club and the Lagmaster, you can buy it together. We give you a little discount. And again, like, it's been amazing. I've learned a lot. So for people who, any pros that are listening or anybody in general that you're thinking about going out and like you have an idea and you think it's going to be amazing and it, the path is, again, like I think we're here really fast.
Yeah.
I feel like it's taken forever to get to this point, but I know we're moving a million miles an hour.
It's got to feel like quite an accomplishment and super exciting to finally get this to market.
Yes.
And the fact that you literally just went live last week.
Yep.
Congratulations, man. That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Lagmastersports.com.
Yep.
Let's go.
We've got Instagram, and again, you can find me on Instagram.
And you can find Mike here at Little Bennett Golf Course.
Yep.
Working with the MCG, the Montgomery County Golf Academy.
Yep. Come on out. It's a game.
Let's wrap this up. Let's go hit a couple golf balls.
Yeah, man. Sounds great.
Right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't have a good golf game, but I don't really care. I'm a regular dude living in D.C., and I want to know about D.C.-centric golf stuff. If you can tell me something that I don't already know, then that is great for me. I don't want the regular stuff. I want exciting stuff. I want different stuff. I want stuff I can't hear elsewhere. But I want it to be about D.C. golf.